Welcome back to our Bible study segment today, ladies. We are in Genesis chapter 19 for lesson number 32 with our teacher, Connie Stample. Hello, Connie.
Hello, Amy.
What are we going to be focusing on today? What should we be looking for?
Well, we're really going to see God's mercy to Lot, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and those cities are going to be destroyed.
Yes, quite an interesting story, ladies. What I'm going to do is read the first part of this, and then Connie will teach. And it goes like this from Genesis 19, picking it up in verse 12. Then the men said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here, sons-in-law, sons, daughters, or anyone you have in the city? Bring them out of the place. For we are about to destroy this place, because the outcry against its people has become great before the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and said to his sons-in-law, who were to marry his daughters, "Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord is about to destroy the city." But he seemed to his sons-in-law to be jesting. As morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city." But he lingered. So the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him out and set him outside the city. And as they brought him out, one said, "Escape for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the hills, lest you be swept away." And Lot said to them, "Oh no, my lords, behold, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have shown me great kindness in saving my life. But I cannot escape to the hills, lest the disaster overtake me and I die. Behold, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my life will be saved." He said to him, "Behold, I grant you this favor also, that I will not overflow the city of which you have spoken. Escape there quickly, for I can do nothing until you arrive there." Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen on the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. And he looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the valley. And he had looked out, behold, the smoke of the land went up like a smoke of a furnace. So it was that when God destroyed the cities of the valley, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, and when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had lived.
Yes, Amy. And so here we see it ends, this passage ends with, again, Abraham seeing the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, but also trusting God with Lot and his life. And the point of the whole passage is the Lord is merciful to Lot, yeah, who we know from the New Testament is a righteous man. And we find that Lot not only has to actually be dragged out of the city, it just shows again how much Sodom had actually taken hold of Lot, because his heart was there in some sense. But we also find that he needs to beg and plead to not have to go all the way to the hills. He wants to go to this little city called Zoar, which actually means little. Okay. And so he's asking for it. He doesn't want to have to go to live in the hills. He wants a community again. And again, God is gracious and merciful and allows him to do that. Going back to the beginning of the passage, we find that Lot has some sons-in-law or some men that his daughters are perhaps promised to marry, and he goes to them, and he's trying to get them to leave the city with them. And we find there's this theme of laughing or jesting again, because these men, young men, thought that Lot was jesting, and they did not believe him, even though God's judgment was coming. And so Jesus talks about this in the New Testament, about how people will continue to live like they normally do, not knowing God's judgment is coming.
Yeah, you can find this in Luke chapter 17, starting at verse 26. In fact, it says, "Just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, Fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. So it will be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed.
All right. So here it's a warning to us about how God's judgment may come suddenly and people may not be looking forward and understand, but it will be devastating. We also see here in the middle of this portion, we find that it says that Lot lingered. He was told by the angels, they're trying to hurry him up and get him out of the city because it's going to be destroyed. And he lingered, which literally means he hesitated. He was thinking back and forth. He was torn. He actually wanted to stay. He didn't want to leave behind his life there. And so they physically had to take him by the hand and drag him out of the city and push him on his way. Scary thought, isn't it? To be that attached to the world and the world's way. But then it says again, the Lord being merciful to him brought him out. And again, we find that the Lord is merciful and the Lord is just in his judgment. And Jesus talks about his judgment again in the New Testament.
Yeah, you can find this in Matthew chapter 11. In verse 23, it starts, "And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you."
All right. And so we see that God's judgment is perfect. It's measured. It's accountable for what the evil or the wickedness is. But sobering words here for Jesus to say that because he'd come and preached and taught and did miracles in these cities of Galilee, that they will be held more accountable than Sodom.
Yes.
All right. Well, we also see another lack of faith in this account, because we find that Lot and his daughters and his wife are leaving the city, but Lot's wife turns back and becomes a pillar of salt.
Yes.
And truly, I guess we have to take it as a account of her lack of faith, because she truly could not leave Sodom. That was her home. That's what she was looking for. She was not looking forward to what God was doing, and she didn't understand God's judgment. Because Jesus, again, talks about Lot's wife in the New Testament.
Yeah, even in Luke chapter 17, he says, "Remember Lot's wife."
All right. And so it really, the context there of that Luke passage is about faith, and do not be faithless like Lot's wife was faithless. And so here we have a passage where, again, God is merciful to Lot, whom we know to be a righteous man, but compromised. And so God delivers him and spares him and gets him out of Sodom from this overwhelming destruction of these cities, which probably involved volcanic eruptions and miraculous things from heaven, but truly a burning up and a burning up of the wickedness of these areas. So let's finish the rest of the chapter.
All right. The rest of Genesis 19 says, "Now Lot went up out of Zoar and lived in the hills with his two daughters, for he was afraid to live in Zoar. So he lived in a cave with his two daughters. And the firstborn said to the younger, 'Our father is old, and there is not a man on earth to come in after us on the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve offspring from our father.' So they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father. He did not know when she laid down or when she arose. The next day the firstborn said to the younger, 'Behold, I lay last night with my father. Let us make him drink wine tonight also. Then you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve offspring from our father.' So they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Thus both daughters of Lot became pregnant by their father. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. The younger also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the Ammonites to this day."
Yes. Wow. So here we have an account of how the evil, wicked influence of Sodom continues in Lot's family. And it's a sad story.
It is indeed.
We have, first off that Lot is afraid to live amongst the people of that area. I don't know if he thought there was going to be another judgment of God there, or if perhaps he was looked at with fear because of all that had happened already to Sodom and Gomorrah. So we find him living in the hills in a cave with his two daughters. And then the daughters get a plan of how they're going to have children. And so they make their father drunk. And that reminds us a little bit of the account of Noah being drunk.
Yes.
And it does speak to how being inebriated and being overcome with wine is not a state where we're honoring God.
No,
because Lot unknowingly fathers children with both of his daughters. And then we find out that those sons born to them, Amnon and Moab, are going to be enemies of Israel and very wicked influences on them. And the sons of Ammon were the ones who actually burned their children in the fire. And they taught the Israelites to do that. And we know that Moab, in numbers, incited the men of Israel to sexual immorality and worshiping their gods. And so in all, it's not a good thing. But I will share that there is one bit of hope in this, because we know later on in Scripture that there is one person of the descent of Moab who is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. And
yes.
Amy's smiling. She knows.
Go back and do our Bible study in the book of Ruth, and you'll find out who that was.
Excellent.
All right.
So here we have, again, God in his mercy has spared Lot. And even from this lineage, we're going to have, they're really in Jesus Christ is going to come from this,
line.
And
isn't
so
that interesting?
God, yes. Our gracious Father, sees us in our sin and looks on us and provides a way out of our sin for us.
Ladies, that gives us such hope. And I just encourage you to keep reading, keep digging into this wonderful foundational book of Genesis. There's so much in it. Thank you, Connie, for teaching us today. And Nancy LeMay and I will be back in just a moment to talk a little bit more about this.